You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
As Brother Osteen used to say, I got cornbread and beans for you today. It's not going to be steak, but you need to eat beans and cornbread sometimes. Amen? Yeah. This is nothing you don't know. It's things you ought to remind yourself of. This might be called basic Christianity. But I'll tell you, I thank God I'm saved. How about you?
Yes.
I never want to forget what happened to me when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When I was 19 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to God. I gave up. I laid down my arms of rebellion, and I accepted Him into my life. He'd been on my trail. He'd been, you know, hunting me, as it were, and He'd had His arms out extended toward me. He actually had died for me 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And all that time, waiting, after I was born, waiting for me to come to Him. And so I think getting saved is about, it's more like laying down your arms of rebellion, because we've just been rebelling and resisting. Are you with me? And lock that door and not let Him into our lives. And finally we give up and let Him do what He's always wanted to do.
Yes.
He's always, I even mentioned earlier, He's always been active in pursuing us. He's always initiated it. All we ever do really, you know, when we get saved, we respond to and we choose and accept what He's already offered.
Yes.
We don't all of a sudden decide we get saved and move God into saving us or move Him in to answer our prayers. He's there. Are you kidding? He's all around us.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
This relationship is pretty much one-sided until we accept Jesus Christ, and one-sided on His part. He's the one that's called us. He's the one that's, you know, surrounded us with Himself. And so that's what He's wanting us to do. That's free will. It's our choice. It's our choice. It's not His choice, it's our choice. He's already chosen. But it's our choice to accept. He's already offered, but it's our choice. Our will is just that. It's our will. Our choice is just that. It is our choice. That's why God is so pleased when you choose, because you did not have to. You could go to hell. You could reject Him. You could live your life for yourself, die and miss heaven, but God won't overrule your will, because He doesn't want robots. He wants you to make the decision. But He's not passive. He's not inactive. He's all around us.
Yes.
Are you with me? Influencing us, sending letters and impressions. And my goodness, we need to open up. Amen? But see, we try, and religion does this. Religion tries to justify itself. Religion tries to justify the person. Religion is actually man's search for God, I guess you'd say. But you don't find God through religion. You cannot do enough good works to get to God. You cannot be good enough to get saved. That's what's wrong with the Muslim world. The Muslim world is it's about nothing but submission. It's about works. Are you with me? A lot of religions, the New Age type religions, are about kind of unity or harmony type things. We just get it one with the universe, one with the earth, one with the, you know. It's all about us, a mindset, a concept, smart enough, think hard enough, or work hard enough, or do enough good things. But see, all that's all just you. That's just all me. We're not good enough to get there. We're not smart enough to figure the thing out. It is a gift. It's a gift. And you have to receive it. All you can do is receive it. Accept it. God's done everything. He's already done everything you need, but He's waiting on you to receive it. He let us go, and that's what happened. Adam sinned. He went. He left. But God didn't hold on to him. He let him go. Because if He held on to him, he wouldn't have had free will. Wouldn't have been His choice. But He let him go with His arms open, still waiting for him to come. I think of the prodigal son, Luke 15 chapter, where it talks about the prodigal son. You know, it says that when the prodigal son came to himself and he went back to his father, it says his father seeing him afar off.
Yes.
He was looking. Yeah. Waiting. That door was open. From the day that son left, that door was open.
Amen.
And from the day you leave, that door is open. And from the day Adam left, that door is open. God's always had an open door policy.
Yeah.
His door is open. His arms are open. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And He's wanting us to come to Him. But it's all Him. And it's just us accepting His grace, His mercy, His power, His ability. Paul talks about this in Romans 10 chapter. And you could see his heart for Israel, his desire for Israel. We hear a lot about Israel and what we should, you know, how we should look at Israel and how we should think of Israel. And we ought to support Israel, I think, as a country. I believe that. I believe God has some specific plans for Israel in the last days. There's no question. Revelation talks about it in very great detail. Many prophecies in the Old Testament, Daniel and Isaiah, you know, Zechariah and Ezekiel, different ones that talk about a timing that God's going to come back. He's going to deal with Israel again. But now Israel's not okay, and Jews are not okay. I mean, if you're a Jew, you're going to heaven. If you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. No. Jews do not go to heaven unless they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's the only way they can go to heaven. Paul was a Jew who knew that and understood that. He was a Pharisee, studied under Gamaliel. But he knew himself he had to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he had a heart for the Jews that had not done that yet, that had not accepted them. So if Paul had any kind of outreach to Jews, it was evangelization. It was to proselyte, to evangelize, to get them saved, get them accept Jesus. So all of our help and praying for Israel, our thrust, our purpose is that they might be saved.
Amen.
They might come to Jesus. Because with everybody in the world that you're friends with, and we work with people, and we live in communities of people that sometimes aren't saved, and we need to show the love of Christ, our prayer should always be that they be saved, that they come to Jesus. We should be nice? Absolutely. We should be civil? No question. We're not hammering them every day and beating them over the head with it, you know. But the point is, our prayer should always be that they be saved, that they come to Jesus. Because do you want anyone to go to hell? I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want, if I can help them get to heaven, if I can help them see Jesus and get to Jesus, I want to do that. So here's Paul speaking. This is basic Christianity. Man, I remember when I got saved. How about you? I know maybe you were raised up in a Christian home, you've known the Lord, but at some point as a child you accepted Him, received Him. Maybe you don't remember the day, and that's fine. I know that everybody does. I was 19 when I got saved. I came out of drugs and jails and a wild lifestyle, and I remember specifically when I got. I remember exactly when I got saved. I don't remember the date. I knew the basic month because I wasn't in a church, and I didn't know you were supposed to write it down. But it was toward the end of the week in May, and the end of May, then the month of May, Thursday or Friday, that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I tried to get right before then. I tried to do right. I had a guy that was witnessing to me and tell me about Jesus, and I kind of, like these Jews here, I tried to clean my life up, which I believe you ought to live holy, stay with me, as a Christian, but not to become one. As a Christian, you should live right and live holy. But there's no amount of holy living that's going to get you saved.
That's right.
If you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I thought, you know, because that, you know, Jesus is holy, God's holy, and, you know, and I was thinking about maybe I need to turn my life around here. I thought, well, I'll start doing good things, I'll quit doing bad things, and then I'll just be okay. That was my thinking. I mean, I wasn't in a church, and so I was trying to do that, and kind of like the Jews. And a lot of the Muslims and a lot of people try to do good things thinking that's going to stack up and those good deeds are going to be good enough. Are you kidding? This price is too high. You don't have this kind of money.
That's right. Amen.
This bill is way too big. You can't pay it. You're never going to be good enough to get there. Never, ever. Live your whole life being nice to people. That will not save you. Because that's not what's going to get us there. It's a gift. Woo!
That's right.
Thank God for the gift. Amen. So he says here, y'all found it, Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So that was his heart's desire and prayer. He didn't just desire that, he prayed that. For I bear them witness, this is fascinating here, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now see, you can be zealous for something and not have the right information about that something. You know, you can even be passionate about trying to help someone, and even though your heart's right and you're trying to help them, you're not helping them at all. You're doing stuff they don't even care about. Sometimes mamas can be that way. I mean, that, you know, thank God for mamas, stay with me. But I mean, sometimes they just shower one of their children with all kinds of help and love, and they need to get independent, and they're not even liking the things that they're fixing all these things, and that's not even what they want. Please, quit. Stop. And yet, her heart's right. She got zeal, passion. I know a guy that's he's gone on to be the Lord, a great guy, a good minister friend of mine. And he was always he had a great heart. Oh my, he had a great heart. But he'd go out of his way to bless a minister friend or whatever, maybe take them out, you know, someplace or whatever, and show up, not announce it, not tell them, not even check with their calendar, and try to get them to go to this place. He just wanted to help them. I just wanted to bless them. And they'd say, well, you know, I can't do that. I mean, I appreciate you trying, but I've got stuff planned. He said, well, all I want to do is bless you. I'm just trying to help you. And he was. He had zeal, but no knowledge. Are you with me? Sometimes we can do that, you know, not even consider that the person we're helping, do they even like what we're trying to do? I don't know. Well, here they are. The Jews were in that state. They're zealous for God. They're doing all kinds of things. But that's still not going to save them. I think it's interesting. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If I tell Jonathan to clean his room, those days are over. He's thinking, thank God I don't have to clean it. I'm thinking, thank God I don't have the frustration of him never cleaning it. But anyway, it's, you know, he's having to clean his own room now. Hallelujah. But anyway, and I've used this example. You know, if I tell Jonathan to go clean his room and he goes takes the trash out, he might have, you know, it's nice to take the trash out, but that wasn't what I asked him to do. Right. And I tell him again, go clean his room. He goes out and washes the car. Hello. And finally, he tells me, he said, Dad, why are you so upset? I took the trash out and I washed the car. Well, I'd say, I appreciate all that, but that is not what I ask you to do. But I sacrifice all this time. Yes, but obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's kind of what, you know, we do sometimes in justifying ourselves. I know when I was at the point of getting saved, I quit drugs for 3 days. I didn't cuss for 2. Yeah. Kind of lost at the 3rd one, but anyway, I thought, that's it. I'll quit cuts, quit drugs, I'll go to heaven. You know what? I'd have gone straight to hell. Right. I'd have gone straight to hell not cussing and not doing drugs. Because that's not why you go to heaven or hell. Right. Are you with me? And I realized that although what God was trying to get me to do was accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, what I was trying to do was get good enough and clean enough to go to heaven. I really was serious about it. I was trying very hard. I realized I was going to hell, and I really didn't want to go there. So I thought, I want to go to heaven. I need to change my life. That's what I was thinking. I got to change my life. So I had this zeal in the sense I'm going to do what I can to make God happy, do the right thing here, and yet all this time God's wanting me to accept Jesus because He'd already paid the price for my sins. Hallelujah. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, 3rd verse, whoa, ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So anytime you establish your own righteousness, I know I'm going to heaven because I go to church every Sunday. Or I know I'm going to heaven because I pray all the time. Or I know I'm going to heaven because I tithe. Listen, I think you ought to pray and tithe and go to church. I'm for all that. But that's my own righteousness. That's not His. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I'm going to heaven because He shed His sinless blood for my sins and He washed my sins away. As the old song says, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. Wow. So it says here, I bear them witness or record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Wow. So when I believe on Him, that's the end of the matter. Isn't it? He says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. When I accepted Jesus after about that 3rd day of getting real serious, I've been reading the Bible for a couple of weeks, you know, at that time. I decided to get out. I think Brenda had a Bible. I was reading it. And of course, I went right to Revelation because that's what you need to do if you don't know Jesus is read Revelation. So after reading that, you know, for a few weeks and getting totally confused a couple weeks, somewhere in there I realized I needed Jesus. I mean, thank God. If that won't scare you off, I don't know what will. Read Revelation when you're lost and don't know, what? This is, what's this? You know, I mean, that's the craziest. Listen, if you just got saved, go read the book of John. Go read one of the Gospels. Find out about Jesus and who he is. Amen? Well, anyway, I was reading along there, you know, and realized, hey, man, this is bad stuff. You know, it's kind of scary. And I was reading through there, and it was amazing. I first started reading, I was just doing drugs and reading my Bible, or Brent's Bible. No, really, I just lost. I did not know the Lord. I wasn't in church. And this guy had been witnessing to me for 6 months, you know, and it's starting to take its toll, you know, breaking down little by little. I started realizing there must be a God, and that's a good start, but that's still not the end. Then I realized he probably does love me, and maybe there is a hell and a heaven. And then I just thought, well, man, if there's a heaven and hell, I'm definitely not going to heaven. I'm going to be going to hell the way I'm living. And so I'm thinking I'll start cleaning my life up. And see, God just working on me. I'm starting to open up a little, and so little by little I'm starting to see things. Not clearly. It's kind of in a fog still. And when it came down to the last 3 days, I thought, this is it. I got to clean myself up. And really what I need to do is receive Jesus, accept him. You know, because he did it all. Hadn't got that point yet, but I was getting real close. And I remember, you know, putting up the drugs in case it didn't work, you know. I remember, I thought, well, I put it in a closet, you know, if it doesn't work, then I'll just go back to it. Now, that's not faith. Are you with me? But it's all I had at that time. It was all I could muster. And then after about 3 days, I was so miserable because I'd been going around trying to establish my own righteousness. Now, do I believe in holy living? You better believe it. I believe it. I hadn't done drugs since I got saved. Are you with me? I believe in holy living. But I know that doesn't save me. That does not save me. At the time, I was thinking it might. But I realized real quick it wasn't. I was just as miserable. I was just as lost. I was just as empty. I mean, I was so empty. I don't even know how to describe the feeling. But I do remember those days. I've been miserable since then on occasion with crisis and things that happened. And, you know, and before I got in faith and got, you know, and got God to move on my behalf. But I've never been that miserable. I've never been that lost, that empty. And there I was, 19 years old. You ought to be, you know, just excited. But see, God was dealing with my heart. And I was opening up and I was listening and I was reading. And I was hearing and I was realizing I was lost and going to hell. And so that empty, that complete hopelessness, I finally submitted to the righteousness of God, which is through Christ. Amen? I gave up my quest of earning this thing and accepted the gift that he was offering. Because that's a hopeless quest if you're going on this road. If you're going to be like a Jehovah's Witness, stay with me. Jehovah's Witness think if they pass out enough watchtowers and they'll knock on enough doors, they might possibly, maybe get to be in that group of 144,000, which they think are people that pass out enough watchtowers, which that's not what they are at all. And maybe they can make it there. If they work hard enough, they can make it there. Well, listen, you're never going to work hard enough. You're never going to witness to enough people to earn heaven. You're never going to pray enough hours a day to get to Jesus, to get to heaven. You have to believe. See, that's what's wrong with the Muslim faith. That's what's wrong with Buddhism. That's what's wrong with the different cults and sects out there. They're based on works. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And our total trust and our faith is in him and what he did 2,000 years ago. And it compels me to live holy and live right. It does. It moves me to forgive. It moves me to live right and do things that are going to be a witness to others and make choices that are not necessarily, you know, some things I could do or not do and go to heaven. That's not the point. I want to be a witness and an example to those that are lost that need Jesus. Amen. That's right. I've got to get them to Jesus, because if they don't get to Jesus, they're going to hell. Hello. That's what Paul was saying. It's my desire, it's my prayer for Israel that they might be saved. You and I got it. You and I got salvation. We've been saved because of what Jesus did. Not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. That's what's so good about this. I have in me and you have in you as a Christian the righteousness of God. Not your righteousness because you weren't good enough and you never will be in the natural. You've got His righteousness. That's what Paul said. Having not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I took on His righteousness when I accepted Jesus. I hooked up with Him. And this is staggering to think about. If God were standing right here, of course, we'd all fall out on the floor. We couldn't stand that kind of presence. I understand that. But if you couldn't stand here, if God were standing right there, He wouldn't be any more righteous than you are.
That's right. Come on.
Stay with me. Don't lose me here. You have His righteousness. Or you're not going to heaven. If you don't have His righteousness, you're not going to make it. Woo! Are y'all getting that? I mean, that to me just... So man, I'm good enough to go to... Well, I'm only good enough to go to heaven because of what He did for me, because of Him in me, because of His righteousness through me. That kind of takes the whole thing away, whether I deserve or I'm worthy. Oh, forget all that. I believed on Jesus. He's made me worthy. Even when I pray, I don't come on my merit. I don't come on my goodness when I pray. No, sir. I come as a child of the living God who has the righteousness of God. Y'all catching it? And it's His worthiness. It's Him in me that causes me to believe and faith, have faith and all that. I don't have to worry about all that. Are you kidding? He's in me.
That's good.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Don't keep trying to establish your own righteousness. You're never going to do it. You couldn't have done it to get saved, and you sure can't do it after you get saved. Walk in His righteousness. Walk in His righteousness. Well, that's good stuff. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Fourth verse. Fifth verse says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. And in essence, he has to do everything in the law. If you miss one point in the law, you're done, your goose is cooked, stick the fork in, it's over. If you're going to live by the law, then you can't mess up one time. You can't miss it in one respect. Although you may not murder, if you lie, it's fry time. You may not lie, but if you covet, too late, Ethel. It's over. See, if you miss it in one respect, you got to live by every one of them. You cannot miss any of them. No one's ever done that except Jesus. And that's one whole point of the law. It shows us that we need a Savior. The law points us to Christ. It brings us to Jesus. When you start trying to live holy, all by yourself, without God, without the Bible, you are going to run into a brick wall. And I'll tell you this, even after you're born again, if you think you're going to stay perfect in everything that you do, not going to happen. You're going to have to repent a lot. And you need to repent. Man, by the time I think I got this thing down, I get upset with somebody. Don't look at me so funny. Are you out there or are you going home?
We're here.
Okay, and I have stopped and I go, God, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Or I get envious of someone. I hear something going on that I ought to be rejoicing about and I'm a little mad because it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And I think, what is wrong with me? I should be excited and, you know. Well, that's just not fair. Oh, it's not fair. Oh, wow, not fair. Jesus didn't wash you in His blood. You're just going to heaven, going to live forever. That's not fair. Hello. You know, so you can't go down that road. We've got to live in this righteousness. We've got to live in this righteousness. And repent when the sin comes up. Just repent of it. Amen. Because if you still had to go by this, if after I got saved and I'm washing the blood of Jesus, I had to be perfect after that, well, we probably wouldn't have made it the first week. And you can serve Him for 50 years and you probably wouldn't make it the next week. Something would come up. Now, thank God we got forgiveness. Thank God we got power over sin. And I believe we're getting better at overcoming sin. Don't get me wrong. I think you ought to sin less and less and less as you serve God because you begin to overcome sin.
Yes.
Amen. But as far as just reaching this perfection, I don't think that's going to happen. In the natural, we're perfect in Christ, complete in Christ, spiritually speaking. But until we shed this flesh, we're going to have this temptation That's not an excuse. We should get better and better at loving people, better and better at forgiving people. But I hadn't reached Superman status. How about you? Getting quiet in this church. Okay. Thank God. Thank God my faith's in Him. My faith's in His righteousness. Amen. Fourth verse, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the abyss or deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Woo! I love that. In fact, the context of that is real simple. We're looking for somebody else to do it for us. Somebody already did it for us.
Yes.
Amen? We're looking for somebody else to take our place. Somebody already took our place. Maybe you're looking for somebody to pray for you. You need to pray yourself.
Yes.
You need somebody else to confess. No, you need to confess with your mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're often looking, maybe sometimes even, for Jesus to come down and do something. He's already come down and done something.
Yes.
Amen? Well, what saith it? The word's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Wow. Man, that's when I got saved. That's when I got saved, when I called on Jesus. When I quit all the other stuff and I began to see, you know what? He's already done all that. He's already gone to hell for me. He's already rose again. He's already in heaven. He's waiting on me to accept it, to believe it, to receive it. And as long as I keep going around trying to establish my own righteousness, I have not yet submitted myself to the righteousness of God, which He's already provided through Christ Jesus. It's a simple story. It's basic Christianity 101. Hello. Are you with me? It's how you and I got saved. We leaned and trusted in and put our faith in another, that other being Jesus Christ. Amen. And we ourselves confessed Him. You know, the day I accepted Jesus, you've heard the story. I came in. I'd been working in Upjohn Chemical, Deer Park, Texas, a chemical plant there. And I was sandblasting the inside of a train tank car, chemical tank car. And they let you down through the top there, the whole portal, I guess you'd say. They let you down through it. Back then, when you sandblasted, you had this hood and a mask on, and you had an air hose coming in, blowing air, keep the sand out of your face. It would blow air out, you know, because it's in the dark. You can't see anything. You're just sandblasting and trying to look and trying to see a pattern that you're hitting. You could only stay in there about 15 minutes or so because it was so hot. It was May, and it was just scorching hot in there. And then you'd come out and somebody else would go in. And then you'd come out and go. You'd do shifts like that because you couldn't stay in there very long. It was just too hot. And you're just drenched. You're just sweating. It's so hot. It was a great job. So, yeah, I know you guys are wanting to sign up right now. But anyway, I was doing that, you know. And I, you know, thinking back, that's pretty neat because really I felt like probably it was in hell. If that's what it was, I sure didn't want to go there. But I'd come home that day, and I was just completely exhausted. You know, I'd been trying to be nice for 3 days and not cuss and not do drugs and all that stuff. And I got in. I was going to pick up Chris. Chris was at a daycare. Brenda was working downtown Houston at the time. And I got home before she did, so I had to go pick him up. So I went by the apartment to, you know, change clothes. And I was really, really all day, days, thinking about getting right with God, getting saved, trying to be nice, trying to be good. Trying to work. And I was exhausted physically. I was exhausted spiritually. And I came in and I never will forget. I laid down on the floor. There's a little hallway in that apartment. It was Red Bluff, Chateau Creole Apartments. Red Bluff Apartments there in Deer Park, Pasadena. Yeah, it's Pasadena right beside Deer Park. And I laid down and I gave up. I quit. The Michael Williams Trying to Attain Righteousness Association was officially shut down. I just shut her down. And it was the first time that I remember talking to God. It was the first time I ever remember really having a conversation with him. I know it sounds crazy, but it was. And I remember it like it's yesterday. And I was laying there and I said, God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. I've tried. It's just not working. Just like it says right here. I was trying to establish my own righteousness. But thank God I was realizing it wasn't working. And I remember saying this. I said, Jesus, I said his name, called his name. See, now I look back, I know what I did. At the time, I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't know all the things to say. I didn't know to say, I now confess you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I now believe that you've been raised from the dead. I didn't know that because I wasn't in church. But I knew I needed Jesus. See? And God meets you where you are in that respect. If you'll call his name, in fact, that's what it says in the 13th verse. Look there. 13th verse, same chapter. It says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I did that. And I said, Jesus. That first time I remember really calling his name, even. I said, I can't do this. But I said, Jesus, if you can help me, help me. That's what I said. That's all I said. Now, you know, in a church, we'd quote a scripture, we'd get you to confess Jesus, and rightly so. We got knowledge and we should flow with it. But I'm telling you, that second, that moment, I was born again. At that very space, that very point in time, right there in Chateau Creole Apartments in Pasadena, Texas, in May of 1975, I called on Jesus. And he saved me. I asked him to help me, and I gave up my quest. I gave up my establishing my own righteousness. I gave up my working and for it, trying to earn it, and I turned it over to him. I said, if you can help me, if you can do anything, Jesus, help me. And I meant it. I meant it from my heart. I meant it from that desperation I was in. And I was, when I said all that, I meant, save me. That's what I meant. And boy, that Sunday, we went to a church. In fact, we went to a Sunday school in a church, and we listened to it, and I didn't really care too much about it, so we left at Sunday school and went to another church for the Sunday service. And we wound up staying there a few months, and then we wound up going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was our pastor. But this is, I began to understand little by little later and later what happened. I didn't have a big feeling hit me. You know, some people have an emotional experience, and I think that's great. I'm more emotional now about it than I was then. I can't talk about it now without crying. But then it wasn't, you know, I was just empty. I was just hurting. I just, you know, I wasn't into crying. I wasn't raised that way. I just thought men weren't supposed to cry. Boy, was that a lie. I'm a blubber baby now. But I mean, as I look back on it, it just melts me because it was so fragile, such a pivotal time. It changed the whole direction of my life. It changed my future. It changed my destiny. It changed you. Think about it. I'm your pastor. I've been here for 27 years. That wouldn't happen if I hadn't accepted Jesus at 19. If I hadn't given up and accepted his grace and his mercy and his son. But I did, and it changed everything. When you believe on Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes your family, your future, your destiny. It changes the world. It really does. Changes the whole world. So Paul says this, 9th, 10th verse. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be. No doubts about it. It'll happen. It's going to happen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You can't work your way there. You can't be good enough, but you from your heart can. You can from your heart believe. That's all God's asking you to do is believe on him. Believe in him. Believe on what he's done. Accept him. The heart man believes unto righteousness. With a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not with works that you do. Not with the hands. Not with your feet. Not with your actions. No, it says with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess, you agree with God. You accept the record that he gave his son. You don't reject it. You don't go around it trying to make your own way. You accept his record. You confess what he says. You say the same thing he says. That's what confession means. Confess is a Greek word, homologeia. It means the same thing to say the same thing. So I'm going to say what God says about this deal. He says Jesus is the way. I'm going to say that. Jesus is the way. He said Jesus came to die for my sins. I'm going to say that. I'm going to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to confess my goodness. I'm not going to confess my works. I'm not going to establish my own righteousness. I'm going to confess unto salvation and say what He says. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read on a little further. We'll close this out. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know it's basic, and I know we all know this stuff, but man, this is real stuff. I have a little moral authority here to say this, preach this. I'm not giving you some theory or some concept. This changed my life. I'm here telling you, 34 years later, this is real. Let me give you an eyewitness account. Let me give you a personal testimony. Let me say to you, this is not just a principle. This is not just a scripture. I've lived it. I've done it. It works.
Amen.
Amen. I am a testimony. And you are too. Amen. Think about that. You have a power that no one else has. You have the power of your personal testimony. You have moral authority to tell people about Jesus. You believe this, I believe. Oh, no, no, this changed my life. Are you kidding me? This is not just a book. It's changed my life. Let me testify. Amen. For the scripture says, 11th verse, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Oh, my, my, my. You know God's rich to all who call upon him? He's rich, but he's rich to all who call upon him. As far as Paul's concerned, a Pharisee, a Jew, studied under Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of his day. God makes no distinction between Jew or Greek. But the same Lord overall is rich to all who call upon him. What the Jews need to do is accept Jesus, just like the Gentiles need to accept Jesus. And my heart's desire and prayer for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone who believes in Him.
Amen.
And then he says this classic verse, I'll close out with it. 13th verse. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, I love that. In fact, if you want to know the truth, that word saved is the Greek word sozo. It's translated healed. It's translated delivered. It's translated made whole. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from whatever situation you're in. Well, I'll get good enough to get my healing. No, you won't. You'll never be that good. Well, I'll earn this thing. No, you'll never earn it. No, 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 no. Because you're going about to establish your own healing, not submitting yourself to the healing of God. Or you going about to establish your own peace, not submitting yourself to the peace of God. Y'all getting it? It's more than just going to heaven. It's everything. Woo. So just call. Why don't you call? Why don't you call up? You know, there's an old song we used to sing. You know, go ahead and call them up. Call them up. Tell them what you want. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Y'all remember that song? If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Well, go ahead and call him up. In fact, I remember Evangelist used to do this. He'd go, call him up, tell him what you want. If you need salvation, he'd go through all those things, you know. You sing that song. It's calling on the Lord. You and I are saved because we call on God. Well, if you ever get in a situation, you need a little help, you need to call him. Amen. I know somebody you can call. Praise God.